the last 5-10-5 show of 2024, serving as our main episode today, which is Washed Up Walk-Ons 563. Justin Lima joins us to talk about the transfer portal, a new recruit out of Ankeny, how strength coaches can be more effective for teams in this crazy NIL portal era, how guys train during bowl prep, and down at the bowl location, plus a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. You know, we make some bets on the show. Welcome into the 5-10-5 show, the final of 2024, but not the last one ever. Justin will be back, unless he hates us.
No, this is a blast. And speaking of the Packers and Seahawks, there's a couple of Hawkeye strength and conditioning coaches there. Ben Schumacher, who was at Iowa back in 2011, 2010 as an intern, and then Grant Steen, the former player, who now is a strength coach for Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know Ben. I've never heard of Ben, but
Ed Schumacher. Yep.
But Steen, I've known about for a long time, and honestly, I don't know why we haven't had him on the podcast. He follows us.
Yeah,
he follows us, and for a long time, and yeah, we need to have him on. Gonna have a nice thick episode today.
Let's do it.
Didn't have one last week, so I've got some stuff built up. It's bowl season. I'm excited to get Coach Lima's opinions on several things today. But yeah, I was making a bet on that game. The Packers are good.
Are they? Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
Okay.
With that response, I'm going to assume that you don't really watch a lot of NFL football.
No, the kids and the family take priority.
Yeah.
I'll watch if they want to. Like right now, Everett, my son, loves the Detroit Lions.
Of course. The Lions. it's like 10% of their active roster is Iowa guys.
Really?
Yeah. Jack Campbell, Laporta.
Neiman.
I'm pretty sure at another point there was one or two guys.
Ike was on the team. Matt Nelson used to be on the team.
Yeah, Nelson. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
I got all the Iowa guys. But you know, I'm the same as you. Like people make fun of me. The running joke on the main show for this whole brand is like, oh, Kluver runs a sports podcast, but he doesn't watch sports. It's like kind of true. Like I watch. This is. I'll just get shit on this. It's okay. People know. I watch Iowa football, never miss a game, obviously, probably won't for definitely as long as I do this show. And then the next most like consistent sport that I watch is probably Nebraska volleyball.
Really?
Yeah. My wife is a Nebraska fan. Her folks are both from Nebraska. Huh. So she grew up a Husker. And by proxy, I have gotten into volleyball, the sport of volleyball, but like, Nebraska's her team. They also happen to be consistently year in, year out, like they are the Alabama of Division I volleyball. And volleyball is a cool sport, man.
Volleyball is a super cool sport, and they're super fun to train, like men's
and women's. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
You want to talk about some absolute freaks?
Like, let's just get real. Like, cause you don't have to do a bunch of like 110s and like these stupid dogma things.
Zero.
No, like you just like, hey, let's get super powerful and jump really, really high.
It's amazing, dude. When you want to talk about strength conditioning, we get into volleyball because that is it. Watching the Olympics this summer, I'm going to send you this. I'll have to go back and find his name because he's Japanese and I can't remember it. Got to be the most impressive athlete I've ever fucking seen. I mean, I'm talking for people who understand true athleticism and like what it takes to do, watching this guy jump from Japan.
Yeah.
He's got fucking springs in his legs. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense how far and how high he can jump. It is unbelievable. And then like the power and just the different kind of athleticism to like contort your body in the air and go get things. It's this huge for me because it's not a, like you said, you don't even need like, you hardly would need 60 yard shuttles. It's all within a 5 yard window. Mm-hmm. It's just pure box agility drill. Oh my God. Which was nerve wracking, by the way. One of the worst one of the worst drills that we did at Iowa was what do we call it? Was it just mock?
You talking about where the one where we're like
reactive?
Spinning, the one where like you're in the middle of the 45 shuffle 45.
Yeah, and you're in the front yelling 45.
Yeah, I'm shuffle. Trying to remember what we called 45. It.
I think it was
At Harvard, because you know we did it at Harvard too. The guy, the cube of chaos, is what one of the
that's exactly what it was, dude.
That's what he called it.
The cube of anxiety is what it was, because if you mess the drill up or you go a different way, you guys were just like, you guys were programmed to be like, no, fucking do it again, do it again.
You know what the funniest part is though? Coach Doyle was one of the worst at pointing the right direction, but would
so
always
so bad.
He was so bad at it. His own son, Dylan, was like, because I would train Dylan. I had personal trained Dylan since Dylan when I was a freshman or when I was an intern. So yeah. Dylan wasn't even in high school.
He's like seventh grade. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been training him for a while. And he's like, hey, thanks for like actually pointing to the cones. He's like, because my dad doesn't do a good job of it.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine a little bit of Dylan's life or all, you know, all his kids' lives. But man, being Coach Doyle's son would be, that's a tough one. That's like being Jocko's son.
Yeah, he's got a son because, I mean, there's a reason why his two daughters roll like all the time.
Oh, they're bad at, yeah, they're like elite at jiu-jitsu.
Funny story about Jocko's daughter. So Freya, I have FaceTimed with her a couple times.
Oh, really?
So we connected back when NIL first started, when I was at Towson, talking about doing Jocko stuff either at Towson or through me. And so I set up a call with her and a couple other people in the company. Freya was the one to initiate it because I sent a message. I was like, hey, I got the DEF stuff everywhere. Like I literally put discipline equals freedom in the cover of my dissertation. Like I've been a DEFer ever since I read the book. And she's like, yeah, let's hop on a call. Da 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 da.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think if I'm religious to anything, it's DEF. Discipline equals freedom. That's how I live my life. So good man, juice me up. Justin was in here 8 minutes early today, just waiting for me. It's like, all right, well, let's fucking go. Volleyball is the coolest thing, but I don't watch NFL. Like, nope. I don't.
It's not going to dictate my life because at sports. And here's the other thing too. Like my dad will text me and be like, oh, did you know that? Da, da, da. It's like, yeah. Cool. These teams are playing. But for me, the only teams that really matter are the ones that push the needle forward and allow the financial stability of my life. Like, can I pay my bills? So for a while, my favorite team was Towson. And before that, it was Iowa. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yep.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah. And it's, I feel the same thing with the kids. It's like, am I really going to watch an NFL game over like playing with my kids on the floor or like playing some, you know, like it just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's like no judgment to anybody who does do that. But for correct. Me personally, I just like, I can hardly pull my phone out and feel good about like being on my phone in front of my kid. I like sitting there and watching a game is like, what am I doing? Anyway, end of the year show. It's the 17th as we record this. This is going to come out 2 days later on Thursday. This is actually working as the main episode this week, Justin. So
holy cow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, not, wow.
This no. is the 5-10-5 show, but it is like the main show coming out on wow. Thursday.
Wow.
The guys are in bowl prep right now. And really the entire college football world is in chaos,
bro.
With I don't know if I've asked your opinion on that. What do you think about all the current state of NIL and the portal and all of this?
I'm going to start it all by saying I'm in favor of the athletes being paid.
Yeah.
I will then follow it with I am not in favor of a world where every athlete is a free agent at the end of every single year and there's no salary cap and none of it. You cannot want to be paid like a professional yet not held to the same standards as professionals. So I dislike all of that from the CEO standpoint, from the strength coach standpoint. I hate seeing athletes transfer, never having stable training. And then the strength and conditioning coach is then going to be held liable for the athlete if they don't stay healthy. So it is a flawed model in multiple ways. I am for athletes being paid. I am for strength coaches getting paid. Strength coaches and the assistants need to get paid. Marcus Freeman just got paid at Notre Dame. I really hope that Lauren Landau got the same 4-year extension and the same contract and the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Like continuity, safety for him And I hope it trickled down to the assistants, because shout out to KF. What KF did for us, us slappies, as we called it, he gave us the same 10% bowl bonus that all everybody else got. And he didn't have to do that, but he wrote it in to make sure that every, like, the administration did that for us. Shout out to KF for that. Shout out to Doyle for trying to continually give us raises and make sure that we were being taken care of. We didn't get paid as much as we could have, but he still did things like that. KF took care of us. You got to let these coaches have some stability so they can pour into the athletes better.
I didn't even think about that. The liability, but
when athletes get hurt, who are they going to blame? Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if Johnny, whatever, like this, I saw this on Twitter the other day. There's a kid who it said, like, this is peak NIL. He had a Georgia.
Oh, yeah, suit. I saw it. Yeah.
He had a Penn State jersey, and he had like a different Twitter. And it's like, okay, so there's three different coaches that have affected this athlete's training over a year. Mm-hmm. Now, people can be like, well, we've got a really good strength coach. And it's like, okay, we're going to get him ready in 6 months. Tyler, if you and your wife wanted to have another kid and you tried really hard, can you have the baby in 4.5 months? Like, we're going to try twice as hard.
We are having a kid in 6 months, though.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
But like,
we announced that. It's not new news, but it's maybe to the podcast that people haven't heard it.
You can't be like, hey, babe, I need you to try really, really hard. Yeah. And we're going to have this baby. Like, let's push this thing out in 3 months. Like,
can you cook this thing in 5 instead of 9?
Like, and to the listeners out there, the reason I'm so passionate about it is it takes time to make physiological changes to bones, tendons, ligaments. Like, again, you can want something as much as you want, but the baby example is perfect. It takes time. So for these athletes to be jumping in here, and let's call it what it is, when they leave one school and go to the other, they're not going to do anything. You know how many times I heard kids tell me that when they would go from P5 down? Like, one kid, Rick DeBerry, loved him. He came from Oklahoma here. We had a great relationship. Day one of camp, he's like, hey, coach, I ain't going to hold you. Exact words. Coach, I ain't going to hold you. I didn't do nothing. Once I left Oklahoma, they wouldn't let me train there. I didn't do nothing. Like, and again, Rick is not, I'm not saying it because like, oh, Rick, you're a fool. No, he was honest. And then it allowed me to then be like, all right, I can't be foolish with you. Let's make sure that we don't burn the cake, right? Because it can't be at the same time like, oh, you got to still cook it the right way. And Rick stayed healthy that 2018 year. I'm saying it because he is not the outlier. He is a lot of these kids that are going through, okay, you're leaving this school. Now you don't know what you're going to train. You want to stay healthy so you can get the NIL deal. Damon Lillard, when he signed like that huge contract before whatever, he told whoever the head coach was for whatever team he was on, because he keeps jumping around too. He's like, coach, I didn't train because I didn't want to get hurt, because these contracts, when you read them, they're not guaranteed for the athlete if they get hurt outside of the facility. Mm-hmm. So they won't want to train hard, because when you train hard, you know it from doing, like, when you're going to overhead squat 315, that locks you up, because guess what? You could hurt yourself. These athletes aren't going to do hard training by themselves because they could hurt themselves and they want their money. So you have detrained athletes jumping around. Strength coaches are going to be on the hook for it, and then they can get fired. But that's why strength coaches need to have a really good contract. They need to get paid. So that's my long-winded answer on let athletes get paid. Fine. Cool. Schools have all the money. Awesome. But let's find a better way to do it. And I think that that's the general consensus from everybody.
It's incredible that like these guys that are bouncing around could just be, I mean, you never even get a chance. The new program, I mean, if the new program even has this sort of structure, they're just like walking into Devo card. Like, they never even get to advance because every time they go into a new system, they have to reevaluate them, re-FMS.
No, the opposite. They're going to go right to the advance card.
Well, they will, but should they?
No, that's the problem. Exactly. Right. They're skipping that foundation step. They're skipping building a good foundation, because a lot of high school programs nowadays are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you're just skipping and skipping and skipping. And it's like, bad things happen.
Man, I'm 30 and I'm just squatting 405.
You can still get, you at 30 can get so much out of 1x20.
Oh,
coaches will get people off a program because the athletes will get bored and will leave a school before the program will actually, you can get all the juice out of the squeeze.
I mean, even in a good system, when I was playing and it was better, there was not a lot of this chaos yet. Like, It's still really hard to get all the juice out of the squeeze.
It's hard for me personally, and I know it, to stick with it and be like, all right, just come on, man, follow. Like
if you can develop, like that was Iowa's thing. If anybody got out the juice out, it was Iowa. And like we're talking about, like athletically, I'm probably me using myself as an individual. I'm probably not quite as athletic. I think I could get there in like 6 months if you gave it to, if you gave me the time. But like from a pure like lifting standpoint, body composition standpoint, at 30 years old, I'm better now than I was at Iowa because I've had, starting from Iowa, I've had 12 years to continually work on my work in the gym.
You're like, now finally an advanced lifter. So yeah. You see this note right here. It says, what does it say? It says NSCA research paper TPAC.
Yeah.
I finally have to get around to writing this research paper from research that we did at Towson, where the hypothesis was, hey, we think that some one of these variables, sleep, hydration, stress, soreness, whatever, is going to best affect performance by these athletes.
Yeah.
And we found that not one single variable for not one athlete or for all the athletes determined performance. And the reason being is the conclusion was athletes at that level, and I still would say it right now, for any of the kids in any of the colleges are still so untrained that you can give them any stimulus and they still are still so young and they can recover from any of it. It doesn't matter. Even the kid that's 24 or 23, like you are still so young and you can get any stimulus you want. You are not the tube of toothpaste that needs to be really, really rolled to get the toothpaste out of it. They're
barely opened.
Correct. But too many coaches want to specialize because they don't have their principles. They haven't done their work. Like I got off the phone with a strength coach yesterday. He's like, coach, I was like, okay, calm down. What are you trying to do for your job? Well, I want to be head in P5. I go, okay, man, let's do the research. There's about 70 head P5 jobs. Who knows you in Power 5 football? Nobody. Yeah. Okay. You have to start I want to get paid. I don't want to do internships. Bro, nobody knows you in the field. Why would they pay you? Right, exactly. It's like, listen, and I had to give them a reality check. Like, listen, take 70 times 5. Let's go 350. There's 350 jobs in Power 5 football. So the supply is low. The demand is high. They can pay you what they want, and you can, like, you have to know people, brother. Whether you wanted to realize it or not, that is the simple case, and you have to lay the foundation and lay the work, and you can't be skipping steps as a coach either. Do the thing.
There's, you want to talk about, and to be quite honest, it's why I'm not a college football strength coach. Cause at one point that was it wasn't like what I was dead set on, but it was a possibility in my head. It was like, well, at the time you were our strength coach. Nick was our strength coach. I'm looking at you guys. I'm like, shit, I'd like to do that.
I could do that.
The problem was I was in a spot where by the time I was done with school and I was able to go do an internship or something like that, I was going to be 23 years old. It wasn't a dying passion of mine. Like it wasn't the number one thing. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be a college strength coach. So I wasn't all in, which I think is good to be able to recognize in yourself.
Yeah. Shout out to you for that.
Because if you don't recognize that and you go down a path, you're going to waste a lot of time, like finding what you want to do. And I was like, man, I specifically, Kevin even started this path because Kevin interned the summer after we were done.
Yep.
I had an inside track. I was one of your guys' athletes. I was in the Iowa program. I could have immediately, if I wanted to, I'm smart enough, new enough, whatever, to intern, probably get an assistant job very quickly.
Yep.
I mean, Mark was elevated.
Mark did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark was. He's much smarter and better than me at everything, but like I could have done it.
Correct.
And it was still going to be, if I was really, really incredible, it was still going to be 5+ years until I had a big time or even a head job like you had at Towson or like Nick has Elon. It was going to be 5 years at least. Like I was going to be pushing this time in my life currently today where I was like, okay, now I got a sick job. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to commit to that. And it's just the strength world is a, a time under tension world. You gotta put in the work there.
And getting back to it though, again, you got all these athletes that are truly foundational that need the foundations that are not advanced, and they're jumping around from advanced program to advanced program. That's why it's a mess, and it's the product is bad. It's got to take, like, you need an Iowa, you need a Clemson, you need these schools to be like, no, we're not going to play that game, and then them to have success so other people want to just copy and paste that, because you want to talk about having a good product, like a good trend. And that's why Iowa football was what Iowa football was, and beating, you know, Big Ten teams and beating the Ohio States, and like, we need to get back to doing that. And but the reason why was like, hey, we're going to develop this talent. We're going to do things differently. And that's, you can still have that message because we're going full circle now, right? Like, these schools, they're going to be maxed out with what they can legally pay somebody. And the McDonald's bag of cash is going to come back.
Yeah,
like,
here it comes.
You know,
baby,
what I mean? Like, we're back to full circle.
Like, I'll never forget. And I'll just drop names because I don't think it matters at this point. I don't know if you know who Rosh Pierschbacher is.
Yeah.
Cedar Falls.
Yeah.
Right. Class below me and Ike.
Yeah. Ike's
buddy. Went to Alabama.
Yep.
Had offer from Iowa. Like, you know, he was one of those guys. He was one of those who, like, now we do pretty good at, like, keeping most of the time we keep the, like, Xavier Wampa, like those kind of guys, we keep them in state. Back then it was like, oh, they're going to Bama, right? Like, we're going to, the in-state guys, and we still lose guys out of state. You're never going to go 100%. But he was like a big one back around my time coming out of high school. And I just remember hearing from people, not Ike, but other people who knew him. It was like, yeah, he went on some SEC visits and there happened to be some envelopes of cash like in his hotel room.
Shut up.
Yeah.
See, like, I just don't even, again, like, I'm such a walk-on too. Like, I went to Division III football. Like, I didn't know any of this stuff.
Oh, dude.
So I'm like, what?
When I heard that, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You got, I think at the time, it sounds ridiculously irrelevant now, but at the time it was like $3,000.
What? Dude,
coming out of high school, $3,000?
Probably in 20, so like there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, I have to, like, I'm like budging my way in the closed door just to get these coaches to know who I am. Like, I just, someone let me walk on, please. These guys are getting $3,000 envelopes in their hotel room on the recruiting visit. It's like, it's crazy. And I think you're right. It is going to come back. I'm curious to know, and maybe you have an opinion on this, because I think Iowa, we've talked about this. Iowa is that developmental, find good people, find people who want to be committed. Discipline equals freedom. Like, stay in the program, build yourself up. The Jay Higgins type, right?
Yeah.
Don't go. Coach Wallace had a great tweet about Jay and how his story is so great in today's world of college football. Iowa values that. Iowa wants to find a class of 17 of those guys. And sure, you're going to lose some to attrition. You're going to miss on a couple. They're not going to turn out to be. But more often than not, more than the other schools, you're going to find 6 or 8 or 10 good group of core guys that are like, man, we're winning because these guys value the right things. They don't value flip-flopping every other year and going and getting a bag and like all this stuff.
Yep.
And I biasly tend to think that that is still going to win in today's college football. It like will. The Coach Ferentz traits and values that he expresses down throughout the program, that's going to win still, because in the end, it doesn't matter how much each guy's getting paid. Like, a lot of these things could go the opposite way negatively. It's like team congruency and continuity and like chemistry. That's going to matter. Like,
Flip it on its head real quick. You're a player. Yeah. You're not a player anymore. You're a contracted person to perform. Let's say you don't want to move on. You want to stay, but you chased the bag. And now you aren't performing on the field.
Yeah.
Guess what they're going to do?
Yeah.
Cut you.
Yeah.
And now you are out. And now you're like, so flip it on its head, because that's eventually going to come where it's like, hey, you're not in the two deep and you're not on special teams. You're gone, bro. And so now you don't have that continuity. And that's where, like, we talk about the 4 P's at Strength Coach Network: pay, personal life, career progression, sense of greater purpose. If you're only paying people a lot of money, they will leave for less money to have 3 of the 4 better. So you just flip it on. Hey, kids, you're not going to get the same amount of money here, but guess what? You're going to have a great, like, you're going to be a celebrity around town. You're going to be able to have a bop, bop, bop. And you just, you have to, from studying like CEO and business books, you, competition is for losers. You don't want to compete in the same game that everybody else is in. You want to be in a blue ocean. You're not trying to go fish where everybody else is. Like, you want to find where there's not competition. You want to have a monopoly. So you just flip it on its head and be like, hey, yeah, we play college football, but look at all these, like, that's why we bought the facility and made what we did, because it's like, all right, we can't compete with location, but if we have a sweet facility and we can have a sweet sense, like, you can have a sweet life. Like, and you just flip it on its head that way. And that's what you sell to recruits and to moms and dads and go that way.
I think of it as this in, and here's the analogy in, a lot of people think that the calories you burn in a workout, like, we're talking just general, everyone wants to be healthy, exercise. Like, how do I consider my health? People think that the workouts are so important, right? Like, oh, the, you know, my, let's say you work out an hour a day, every single day, 60 minutes, you know, one out of every 24 hours. That other 23 hours is real fucking important. How much you sleep, the kind of food you're putting in your body, how you recover. It's, in fact, way more important how you recover and repair from a workout than the actual stimulus that you give yourself. And it's the same thing with this, with college football. It's like, yeah, the money and the fame and whatever, that's the 1 hour out of your 24 hours a day. But like, when you're chilling with your boys, are they your boys? Do you even have boys? You've been there 3 months. Like, you don't even know these guys. How's the team chemistry? You guys go out to eat, or y'all just like sitting with your 40 grand a month, but you're all alone in an apartment because like there is no team. Like, 17 guys all came in from different places. You haven't even had time to like create friendship. Like, that's the other 23 hours a day within a college football program as a Division I athlete. And like, that stuff matters. And is, like you said, people will eventually care about that stuff more than the top end stuff. So I don't know. I just think KF and, you know, KF is going to move on at some point, but hopefully they bring in Wallace or Woods or somebody that's got the same mentality, and they're focused on people and values. And on the front end, it doesn't look great because the recruiting class ranking, it's not going to be as good. It's not going to be as sexy. We're not going to get the same guys in the portal, but there's a reason that we have six consensus All-Americans in a row in the last 6 years. And we have all these NFL guys, and you see the charts online of Iowa produces more talent than 80% of the SEC schools, and they're like six in the country in NFL. Why are they never as good? Why are they never winning national championships? It's because we produce that, and we get one or two to get to their senior year, and that single player or those two players are incredibly important to our team. And we don't have 10 of them. We don't have that talent or that production out of 10 or 15 guys, but we get two, and they're consistently always going to be there. There's going to be one or two of them there. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. McDonald's bags are coming, though.
Amen.
You tweeted at me. We're going to take a quick detour. We had a guy that was pretty good at running back this year. You tweeted at me that the next Riley Moss opportunity walk-on is coming from Ankeny. And I saw this kid. Obviously, my cousin was the quarterback, so I was checking in on stats, seeing updates all year from Ankeny Centennial. This kid is he's pretty good.
This kid can play football. And yeah, like, to the whole thing about the recruiting and rankings, it's like, all right, that all happens, but then it's like, Dion put it best. He's like, show me who actually plays based off of it, who leaves, who, like, the analytics on your recruiting class, it completely needs to change, because the same thing is going to happen with Braden. They're going to come in. I don't know if Braden's going to do a gray shirt, but let's say he does, even if he doesn't, there's going to be kids that come in, right, that transfer in and they go to spring ball. They're not going to be the guy. And they're going to leave, and scholarships are going to open up. There's going to be opportunities because they're going to, again, just leave, and they're trying to find, and they don't want to play, and they don't want to work hard. This kid, Braden, has NFL blood. His mom and dad have raised him right. So again,
his name is Braden Jackson, I think.
Braden Jackson. So Fred Jackson's his dad.
Fred Jackson, he was pretty good.
Dude was a dude for the Bills. Big time. Like, he's already won the genetic lottery a little bit. Mom and dad have their head on straight, raised him right. He can return kicks. He can return punts. He runs the ball super patient, like Le'Veon Bell, like Caleb Johnson, but has the speed to break it away. Like it, when Josh Allen played on Wyoming and we played Wyoming in 2017, Josh Allen was head and shoulders better than everybody else he was on that team with. So yeah, sure, maybe the Wyoming didn't have the success, but he was still that talented.
You could tell too.
Correct. And like Braden, like he loves his teammates. He, like, if you watch how he celebrates, he doesn't celebrate by himself. He celebrates with his O-line. He has fun doing it. He's as big as Caleb. Like, this kid is tall. You get him in the Iowa program where he's going to have the nutrition all around him. He's going to have the structure, and he had structure with mom and dad. I'm telling you right now, this kid's going to be on scholarship, just like what happened with Riley. He's got an NFL future, I'm telling you.
His dad had a pretty decent career.
Right?
2007 to 2015. He played for the same team the entire time, the Bills. Until the end, he had 1 year with Seattle. I pulled it up. 5,700 career yards in the NFL, 122 games played in, 30 touchdowns.
Bro. I mean, like, that's my point. So it's like, career. And the fact that Iowa was able to get him as a PWO, like, he's got an NFL coach teaching him, like, let LeVar teach him how to return kicks, return punts. Like, this, again, they got a steal in this draft. And they'll wind up having to pay him on the back end, which is fine because you don't want, like.
Oh, you want that.
Correct. You want to pay somebody to stay. You don't want to pay, like, that's somebody I had.
That's my new motto, I think, in the current era, is get guys who you have to pay to stay, so that you don't have to pay somebody else to come.
And this is where strength, so we can spin this back to strength and conditioning. This is how strength and conditioning coaches can be a value add to the sport coach, is we can make sure that you don't spend $5 to $10 million on somebody that you shouldn't, because we can help you identify talent better, because the worst thing to happen now is missing on a five-star, because now you're paying up front.
It's right? The worst.
And you can't, so you have to be much more thorough. And with a well-run strength and conditioning program, when you have your prospect camps, instead of just doing your traditional tests that you've always done, what you just do is you have them on campus. You're allowed to do the things. Cool. Now you run your 10-yard sprints. You run your max Vs. You can do force plate jumps. You can do all the same things that you do with your guys. And now you're building a profile database of saying, hey, coaches, you like this person. Cool. They do or don't compare to these people based off these metrics that we already assess with our team. Like, don't run a three-cone drill or an L drill just because that's what they do at the combine. No, do the stuff that your players do so you can accurately assess who they are and better identify talent. And that's how your strength staff can help you avoid fumbling the bag.
There is absolutely no doubt that, and I'll just place it like this. Let's say we paid Cade McNamara $500,000. I think that might be actually low from what I've heard. But let's say it's $500,000. And we paid Jay Higgins last year to stay. We know what Jay is, right? We had an idea. We had some – and a lot of the portal is built on dreams and fantasy. What could he be? Oh, what if he's in this program? He did this here. Here's what his recruiting ranking was. Here's what he did in high school. What could this guy be? That's what recruiting is from high school. It's not all a false promise, but a lot of it is. But when you got guys that you develop and you see, and the coaches know what they're putting in every day, day in, day out in the program, coaches know what they have.
Why do you think Iowa hired interns as assistants?
Yeah. You know what you have. And so if you have to pay, man, if you could find a way to, like, hey, we're paying all of these guys to stay another year or to stay in this program for the next 2 to 3 years, and you're paying not pennies on the dollar, but a lot less than somebody else because they're already there. They don't have to move. There's a lot of things that are already set up. That's the way you got to do it in today's world. Again, find the people that are bought in from the beginning. It's where it is. All right. Bull prep. Important time period.
Maybe. It used to be. But, like, seriously, if you look at the old model of, like, hey, we're going to see who we have going into the spring, you might not even have those kids anymore.
But you can't approach it like that, though. Like, as the guys that you have, you got to work with those guys that you have, right? You can't just forget about them or like it, maybe no. In some instances, like you're like, oh, this guy's on his way out. But for those guys that you do see like, hey, maybe this is a guy that we can build into and we can pay him to stay later on, right? The money's going to become a factor. This is big. Like a lot of the ones, the starters, the older guys, tell you what, if anybody's wondering, Jay Higgins is not doing a lot of heavy lifting right now.
He'll be doing some heavy lifting, not some heavy hitting. Like, well, especially, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, yeah. Those guys, we're trying, you try to take some of the stress off of them, right? Because we talked about before, you're a stress manager. Mm. The guys that have played a lot, we got to take some stress off of them. They're during finals. Anybody listening right now, the players are doing more on the weekends than during the week. We give them options right now. They come when it works for their schedule. We're kind of like Planet Fitness now where it's like, hey, come when you want within these parameters.
Yeah.
You know, come at 6, 8, 10, whatever. If you're a morning person, we will run you through training so you're not completely by yourself. But you choose what group you come to. Please be an adult and figure out if you're going to come, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Monday. Like figure your schedule out. Take days off when you need it in the middle of the week within, you know, those little bit of time to come train. The weekends, there's no classes, so that's when they'll practice and they can all come together so there's no conflicts with classes. But yeah, like you said, we need to let the other people recover, start to see who those other kids are, to be like, hey, once Jay's gone, who's going to be the backup linebacker, because you're now a snap away from being the starter.
I'll never forget Doyle to start off the new semester, that January semester after the bowl game and the seniors graduate. Now the seniors are on, you know, vacation training. Basically it's like, hey, come in at 9, you know, you see them walking around, but they're no longer part of the team, right? There's a new senior class. There's a lot of new starters that are going to step in. Someone's got to fill roles, right? Yeah. And in training, it ramps up in those 8 weeks. GPP starts all this stuff. And so Doyle, you know, he'd be prime Doyle and he'd be like, no one's coming to save your ass. You know, like I remember like Kreider's not here anymore. Kluver, you got to snap the fucking ball next year. I don't know if you can do it. Like, and that was the whole thing. He would go after everybody like that. Like, hey, no one's coming to save you. The seniors aren't here to hold your hand anymore. Like it's your time. And that fired me up. But it's true. There's a lot of young guys that are going to play massive roles. You can't fill every need in the portal, especially at Iowa, because we just don't have that much money. So this is a big time. There's a lot of developmental work going on. Like practice happens, and then some more practice happens after that. Oh my God.
Strength Coach Network, we're getting a phone call right now. I'm going to just ignore that.
Dude, that's like a classic ring.
We have an office line.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You can answer it if you want.
Nah, they can wait.
This is amazing. Dude, I didn't even I haven't seen a landline in like forever. How much is a landline cost these days? $5?
Yeah, it's dirt cheap.
They're selling it to you for free. That was nostalgic almost hearing that call. I felt like I was back in my childhood home and like, Tyler, answer the phone.
It would be even better if this thing was corded, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to wrap the cord around the kitchen wall. My mom used to do it so she could talk and not. Oh, amazing. Where was I? We're in the middle of bull prep. There's a lot of practice going on. There are some people that are doing some heavy lifting, not just lifting in the weight room, but like lifting, like there's a practice. Large workload. Yeah. They're hitting. They're doing 9-on-7. They're doing block drills. They're the young guys.
If I'm wrong, that's where Logan Jones got his start because he was a D lineman, right?
He might have been switched at that time.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying is like these guys where it's like, hey, I think I can see this person at this spot. Like,
well, good point. There's a lot of guys where if coaches have ideas in their heads about like, you know, the old Dallas Clark, yeah, you're not going to be a linebacker. You're going to be a tight end, right? Some of those moves could be made at this time. And does the lifting in the weight room? Do you guys enter a new phase here or are you finishing up like the in-season phase? You're still progressing through those?
So in-season's done. This looks a lot more like camp.
Okay.
Just because remember, for the listeners out there, it's very simple and it's very inverse. If practice is doing a lot, we do less.
Yeah.
If practice and games are less, we go this. So again, yeah, you're not playing as many games, but practices are longer. Like he said, the hitting gets more. So it's a little bit of that hybrid model where, yes, you're kind of in season. Yes, you're kind of in camp because they're practicing and hitting more, but you're going to get them lifting a little bit more fresh because, like I said earlier, the practices during the week are a lot more few and far between just because kids have, you know, finals at different times. So it's harder to get everybody at one specific time.
Yeah. The outside of the strength conditioning, this bowl season is huge too, because the year one of Tim Lester and the new offense. So these guys are learning a lot. This offseason is going to be exciting. There's a lot going on in the Iowa program. What does bowl week eventually approaches, comes up. And this is where I want to finish with this episode. This, you know, sort of the final topic of today is there's a crazy thing that goes on yearly for a team that makes a bowl game that no one really knows about or cares about. It all falls on the shoulders of like the support staff and the assistant coaches. And that is that you basically have to uproot your entire life, that is, as a Division I program, and transplant it down to Jacksonville or Tampa Bay or we stayed in LA, but I forgot where we even fucking practiced out there.
We practiced where the LA Galaxy played there.
Oh yeah, we went to, yeah, how could I forget that, because or New York. We were on like Fordham's baseball field is where we practiced, like ice cold. Great, it was really prepared us for the game, actually. It was very similar. The entire like equipment, where do you guys even start? We're like, let's say you have a full week, you have 7 days, right? You get down there 7 days ahead of the game. Where does the strength staff even start in your head of how much are we taking down there? I'm sure obviously you have to have communications with the facilities that you guys are going to, like, hey, what do you guys have so that we don't bring stuff we don't need, or we can bring stuff that you don't have and we want.
Yeah.
And then like, how do you approach it from just a like nuts and bolts? What are we doing? What does the training look like down there? I remember, obviously, it's very abbreviated.
We'll do is we reverse engineer a game week. So like you said, we'll try to, whatever it is, like, all right, let's say we get there a week before, 5 days before, you just, again, like, okay, if the game's on a Thursday, you now call that Saturday, that's game day. And then in a normal week, game day, Saturday, Thursday is technically game day minus two, 2 days before the game.
Yep.
Well, now you just apply that same model. So whatever we would do on a Friday, we're now doing Wednesday, whatever we would do, like, and you just start backing it all up. So that's overarching number one. So we would understand what our game week looks like. Then at the bowl site, you try to make everything look as similar as possible. So on a Wednesdays in season, we would lift, then we would practice, right? That's how it would look. Okay. If we're at a bowl site, let's lift and then practice. Now, okay, if we're going to lift, we need to understand, like, what does the practice facility, what does the field look like that we're going to be at? What does the weight room look like that? Well, all that happens with the work and through the collaboration with Fed and Ben, because once we know what bowl we're going to, they go to the site and they see this and they see that. So they're filming, okay, hey, Greg, this is the equipment room. Hey, coaches, this is the practice facility. This is the locker room.
When they do that, they basically have a checklist of like, here's the 50 things we need to get eyes on. And
correct.
Like, we have to assess and sort of audit the situation. And then we take that back to to Greg, to the strength staff, to Coach Ferentz. What an operation.
Right. So then now we know, hey, this is what the weight room looks like. All right. They've got, you know, Jesuit High School that we were at during the Outback Bowls, got eight racks and they got tons of dumbbells. And they've got an area where we can warm up and then go in the weight room. Cool. That's going to be our operation. Hey, LA Galaxy, they've got great racks. We're going to warm up here. This is the function and flow. Cool. And then you understand what your function and flow is. All right. Now, what lifts are we going to do? We would typically have the skill guys do one less lift towards the end. Once we started microdosing more, they would do that extra Thursday lift or Wednesday lift. So we would then do our, you know, Monday lift and practice, Wednesday lift and practice. Thursday would be off, where we would still, like, that would probably when we would go and do more bowl related activities that we needed to do. Friday, we would still bring the primer stuff with us so we could have our primer and fast Friday. And you just try to reverse engineer it all. Now, there were times when we went to the Gator Bowl, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, that weight room didn't have what we needed. So in the old facility, we kept some of those racks disassembled that we would literally put on the semi that would be disassembled in the weight room on day one of us. Day one, we'd arrive. Day two, the strength staff would go and we would assemble the racks. We would just put the bars, the everything that we needed.
Incredible.
And make our weight room in the weight room for you guys to have what we needed.
It's a lot of manpower going through there. And you guys, what was the smallest groups that we use? Cause you can't rock a group of like 36 guys most of the time. So the way I remember it, it was like you guys almost cycled us through.
First come, first serve a lot of the times, cause we would probably go after practice based off of like, if the reality of it, like, hey, we're limited again, based off of the facility that we have, we can't have everybody come in at once. Transportation to and from the practice site, like in terms of just logistics, hey, we're going to roll. The linemen are going to lift after practice. The skill guys will go before practice.
Yep.
First come, first serve.
And you guys would conveyor belt it where like, okay, Justin, you've got the warm up. You're taking them through hurdle warm up or whatever. And then you pass them off to Cody. Cody's getting them in.
Mini banding them, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. And it was like eight guys at a time. And it was just like down the conveyor belt. It really is a crazy operation for you guys listening. I mean, you guys always did such a good job of it, at least from the player standpoint. There was always hangups and obstacles that everyone's sitting there, not just the players, the coaches. We're all just sitting there like, are you fucking kidding? Like, this is what we got to work with. But that's because we're spoiled on a daily basis back in Iowa City and everything's set up to be pristine and easy.
We had 32 racks that you could, if you lift 32 racks, three players, like you could lift the whole team at once, four players per rack if you wanted to.
Yeah. And the coaches could jump in too if they want.
Correct.
DeMarco could snatch 315. Just let me fucking show you how to do it.
Dude, day one that dude showed up to work, he was snatching 275 for reps. I thought it was 185 with how fast it was moving. I had to go out there. I was like, that's 275.
Yeah, he still does. He sends me videos and like, it's so stupid. He like hang snatched 275 for two or three the other day. I don't remember. He's stupid strong. Nimble guy now, though. Back then, he was in a full-on like Olympic lifting cycle. Like that was his thing. He was
Nick focused. DeMarco, when he first got to Iowa, didn't eat vegetables. He used to make fun of people who eat vegetables.
I still don't.
The closest he came was dipping his carrots in ranch or pouring ranch on like iceberg lettuce.
God, me and DeMarco are so similar, other than him just being way more athletic than me. The operation was crazy. And then as far as the lifting goes, a lot of it was like very explosive and like quick. You know, it was like light. It was speed work. It was basically
dynamic effort as much as we could, because we didn't have because remember, we're talking about transporting weights. So we didn't have as many weights. And you talk about like, so for our listeners out there real quick, you can retain your strength longer than you can retain your power.
Yep.
So we don't have to address maximal strength 7 to 10 days away from a game, because those training residuals will last 30 days plus or minus 10 based off of the research. Your speed and explosive power, you need to address it. Think about the use it or you lose it type deal. So because we need to use it so we don't lose it, we will then do clean snatches, jerks, whatever we decide, dumbbells, whatever. And we would do a speed squat without accommodating resistance. And that's how we would roll through it. And we would pair you guys like, all right, hey, Kluver, Kulik, and James Daniels all have the same weight on their squat. Cool. They're the three that are going over there. Kluver squats. They're watching, spotting from the side. Then Drake goes and whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how we would pair you.
We'd circuit it a little bit too. If we had, there's a lot of paired movements, because then you could work with, you know, you're working opposite or non interfering muscle groups, so you can get things done. A lot of it was speed work. The other thing too with that is like, logistically, you already have small groups, you don't have a lot of equipment, a lot of weights. If you've got guys loading bars to 315, 405 and beyond, that takes time to strip, reload, all this stuff. So you just can't do that high strength stuff, heavy shit. So,
and to your conveyor belt point, hey, let's get these guys, start them on the warm-up, start them on the mini band. Hey, they need to be off of, like, if we be done cleaning so you can go to your squats, because the group on the mini band is going to come and clean. And then you go from right? And then now that you're done squatting, hey, go to the dumbbell bay and do your dumbbell movements because the clean group's going to squat. Like, we just had to be very precise.
Yeah.
But that's what fired us all up. Like, look back on some of those staffs. Joel Welsh, director of strength and conditioning at Central Michigan. Nick DeMarco, assistant AD, director of everything at Elon.
Oh, he's got the assistant AD title now.
He's assistant AD now. I was director of football strength and conditioning, president and CEO of Strength Coach Network. Cody, assistant director at Iowa. Mark was a head guy all over the place, right? And that's in addition to Ray and Doyle. So it's like you had head guys that just weren't head guys yet.
Yeah.
So it gave us an opportunity to shine and lead and do our thing.
I cannot imagine some of these other teams who, again, bias, but I just like our staff was a superstar staff, in my opinion. And some of these other places has to be a little bit of a shit show. I just cannot imagine.
So I can't share names, but like I have coaches calling me being like, bro, this head, like my boss is like, you know, calling me at 8 p.m. at night. Cause like they're literally writing the workout the night before. And they're like, oh, we need to get these. It's just like, how are you? How are you getting paid what you're getting paid and being considered a gold standard in the industry?
Yeah. Unreal. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Let this guy go do his actual work. He's got some more important stuff than this. We're going to bring Coach Lima back. I haven't figured out the schedule yet, but the Eichel and Lima shows did very well. I'm actually looking at the YouTube analytics, going over some end of the year analytics right now. And the brands, we've done some numbers. We've done some numbers. Coming up on 500,000 views on our YouTube channel.
Jeez.
Half of which it's been a YouTube channel for 13 years. It was the one I created in high school that turned into the Walk-Ons channel. And half of our 500,000 views have come in the past 365 days. So a lot of that's been because you've been on the show, because Eichel has been on the show. We've done a lot of shows this fall. And I'm thinking like a monthly kind of frequency in the off season to bring back Coach Lima and David Eichel for some sort of recurring episodes there. In the first one, whenever we meet back in January, I want to talk about that winter phase when guys go home and hopefully they don't get pregnant. Like KF said that one of my former teammates did. I don't think it was the winter break. It was actually like, I think the summer break. He gained like 17 pounds. Wait, a guy get pregnant? Okay, over break. So, I mean, that's one of the all-time quotes from Coach Ferentz. But that winter break or those breaks when guys get to go home for extended periods of time, weeks at some points in the year, is we get lift cards. But
y'all don't do them.
That's not true.
I
drilled those. Me and Kevin, guys like me and Kevin, it was like, oh yeah, what's on the lift card today, baby? And we added stuff to it, but most guys don't do them.
Missy Mitchell McBeth, a colleague of mine that works at Powerlift, she put out a tweet the other day that was just chef's kiss. Hope you're all putting final touches on your best training programs to send home with your athletes over break so they can do curls and max out on bench press at the rec for 2 straight weeks.
It's facts. That's big facts. Can't even lie. Did a lot of that. Did a lot of benching. A lot of. I personally, you know what I did when I went home?
CrossFitted it?
CrossFit, baby. Yeah. I went home and did CrossFit.
Number of kids that are going to be like front squat, incline bench.
Yeah. Front squat and what does that say? Rear leg elevated. Nope. Not doing that. Going to curl and I'll hit one set of cleans.
Oh, I'll do some sit-ups, some flutter kicks.
I'm going to do it with my shirt off and put it on my TikTok.
Whenever we do the Hawkeye Championship episode, you have to wear your shirt and tie like we made the players do.
I'll do that.
Got to get dressed up.
I'll do that for sure. That's going to be a huge episode. I want to do a big nutrition episode. A lot of things in the off season. We got spring ball to talk about, all that. Appreciate you joining us this year, Coach.
Thanks for having me on, man.
We'll see Coach in another month or so. We'll set that up, get it going for the new year, 2025. Until then, your next podcast that you guys hear from us is going to be a bowl game, a first round playoff recap / Iowa bowl game preview. So that's going to be fun. We will talk to you then. Until then, have a good one. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.